accession number 20589, reel 1.
This is Raymond Wigmore, reel 1. Now tell me now, when did you join up?
November 42.
Right, and when were you born?
21st of May 1925.
Right, and where did your family live?
We've always lived in Oxford.
Right, and what did your father do?
Baker.
Uh-huh, and did your mother work?
No, just a housewife.
Yeah, right. Okay, did you have any brothers and sisters?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Four sisters and one brother.
Uh-huh.
Younger.
Yeah. Oh, right. You were the oldest.
The oldest brother.
Yeah. Right. And where did you go to school?
New Hinckley, about half a mile from here.
Yeah. And how old were you when you left school?
14.
Uh-huh. And what did you do then?
Went to work with my father in a large bakery.
Uh-huh. Right. And you worked there, did you, till you joined the army?
No, I left in the summer of 1940.
Uh-huh.
And from then on was a series of dead-end jobs until I joined the army. I enlisted.
Right, okay. Now, did you have any sports or hobbies when
Football.
You were young? You played football, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, right. So, can you remember getting your call-up papers?
I wasn't called up.
Right.
I enlisted.
Uh-huh. So you went to volunteer then?
Yes.
Where did you go?
Oxford, New and Old Street, Oxford.
Mm-hmm. Why did you want to join up? Do you think it was, you know?
Well, I knew I would be called up about a year later, so I was just at a loose end. I knew I would get called up when I was 18, then I was 17 and a half.
So when war broke out, I mean, did you think you might be joining the army, you know?
Not at age 14, no.
No.
Right.
So, you went and joined up. What did your parents think about that?
I didn't tell my father until the night before I had to go to the medical. And then I said, I'm going for my medical tomorrow, Dad. And he said, you're not old enough, you're not old enough. I'm not going to let you go. I said, you can't stop me, I'm going. And that's all there is to it. And I went for my medical, passed A1, and I eventually got the papers to go to Colchester.
What did your mother think about you joining up?
She didn't say anything. Well, not to me.
Did you have any relatives in the forces, any uncles or cousins?
During this war... well, cousins, yes. Cousins that were in their 20s.
Mm.
Navy and army. And
so a lot of people your age were joining up then?
Oh, yes. At the time, I belonged to a boys' club. A couple of nights a week, billiards and snooker and general mucking about. And... they all joined the Navy, or they all volunteered for Navy, like, as they were old enough. And I'm not going to follow the crowd, and I don't like that sailor suit anyhow. So I went and enlisted in the Oxford and Bucks.
Right. So did you choose to join the Oxford and Bucks? Did you choose
yes.
to join them?
Yes. Well, I don't think... I had two choices, Royal Barracks... or Oxfordshire and Buckinghamshire Light Infantry. And so I just chose the Oxfordshire and Buckinghamshire Light Infantry.
Why do you think you chose the infantry?
Well, I don't think you would have had any choice to join anything else. I don't think you, because in those days, you went to the General Service Corps, and they sorted you out there. But I knew, even while I was there, I knew that I was going to the Oxton Bucks. The others didn't know. Well, the older men that were called up didn't know where they were going until they had finished their training at the General Service Corps, 16th OTC at Colchester. And they were posted to all kinds of units, corps and regiments. But I knew that I was going to the Oxton Bucks.
So you got a movement order, didn't you, to go to Colchester? Did they send you a ticket?
Yes, at the railway warrant.
Yeah. Do you remember setting off?
Yes. In our club, there was a boy whose brother was going the same day as me, but he was going to the Royal Barracks. So we went together. And
so you went on the train?
I've never been that far on my own before.
No. Were you nervous?
Apprehensive.
Had you any idea what it was going to be like?
Well, I suppose so, yes. I knew there would be sergeants and marching, route marching, and being in the infantry.
Can you remember arriving at Colchester that day, what it was like?
Yes. Arriving at the station, not knowing where to go, because this boy was going to, that I went with, was going to a different barracks than myself. He was going to Cougerat Barracks, and I was going to Locato Barracks. And we saw a lot of other people who were obviously going, and I got on a bus and got off and asked somebody. They said, yes, in Butt Road, Colchester, Butt Road. And
did you walk there?
I must have got off the bus and walked there, yeah. And of course, there was, the intakes were on a Thursday.
So what was it like when you got there?
I can't remember. I remember the barrack room now. The barrack rooms were two-tiered bunks. You could just about squeeze between them sideways, and you had to sleep head to toe. So if the person underneath was sleeping with his head up by the wall, you slept with your head outwards, away from towards the centre of the barrack room. But it was an old cavalry barracks, and I think these barrack rooms were built for about 20 people, and there must have been about 40 in there. So a double-tiered bunks. In fact, when I moved to the other company at Colchester, there were three-tiered bunks, and the screws worked loose, and they used to creak from side to side. And if you were on the bottom one, it was a bit off-putting.
So what were the people like in your barracks?
Well, there was a cross-section of married men with children, right down to boys who were underage. I wasn't underage. I was dead on 17 and a half. But some boys there were obviously underage. In fact, I think one was 15 and they sent him home.
But he wanted to join up
then. Yeah. Well, there was, in those days, especially when the war started, there was no apprenticeships, no worthwhile careers being offered to you, just a series of dead-end jobs. And you knew you were going to get called up anyhow. So it was the answer for me.
Do you remember being issued with your uniform and all your kit?
Oh, yes, all baggy.
What was that like?
Well, you were issued with... You started the training on the following Monday, the Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You were being issued with kit, clothing, and battle dress.
Did your things fit?
Oh no, nothing fitted. They used to have there was a tailor and marked around the neck with chalk and the sleeves, and then you put your name in the uniform. We had a bottle of Indian ink and put the name in everything. In fact, I've still got some things. I've still got my housewife with my name in. It's in there, I'll show you later.
Yeah.
And
so did you feel more like soldiers when you got your uniform?
When we got the rifle, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes, yes. And boots. The boots had to be broken in gradually. I think the first route march we went on was about 2 miles. The boots had to be broken in gradually because otherwise you would have had your feet all blisters.
So you were in the barracks, in the cavalry barracks. Where did you go for your meals?
At the cookhouse, about 100 yards away. And we had to march to meals. But we were allowed to walk back. We marched a meal, but walked back. That was breakfast, dinner, and tea.
What was the food like?
Pretty good. But being under 18, we were told that we could go and have supper at night. But it was all the leftovers from the daytime meals, and I went once or twice, but we used to go to the naffy.
Was there a big naffy there?
Yes, but it was always crowded. But I might add that we weren't allowed out for about 3 weeks. I think it was 2 or 3 weeks. We weren't allowed out of the barracks. And then as you walk through the barrack gate, you were, not inspected, but you were looked at to make sure you were dressed properly.
So they started your training on the Monday, did they?
Yes.
Yeah. What did they start training you in?
Well, mainly talks. We had a talk on pay and allowances. Well, the allowances didn't affect me. We had a talk on pay, allowances, and you could save so much. Well, I never chose to save anything. I had no ties. I just had all my... I think the pay was half a crown a day.
So what did you spend your money on?
Cups of tea and cakes. I didn't drink. Well, I didn't like it. Quite close to the barracks, there was one of these penny arcades, quite close to the barracks on the corner of Butt Road. There was a penny arcade. I must have spent a bob or two in there.
So what about instructions on how to look after your kit? Did they show you how to clean everything?
We had the dubbin boots, both pairs. We had the dubbin the boots. Yes, we had kit inspections. And then, of course, when the training started, it was rifle cleaning. And the best suit that we went we had two serge battle dresses, and we kept one for best. And we used to put it under the bed, between cardboard, sheets of cardboard were very valuable. You put your trays between the sheets of cardboard and you've got a nice crease in them.
Lovely. So tell me about a kit inspection. Who did the inspecting?
The company commander.
So what did you have? How did you have to have everything
prepared? Everything had to be laid out. Yes, everything. And any any personal kit, personal things, you put in the kit bag, out of sight.
Did they show you how it had to be laid out?
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, they had a demonstration. The corporal, the corporal laid out a demonstration kit. I can't remember exactly. Boots, or your shaving kit. Well, I didn't shave anyhow. Not at that age. And that's another story. All your kit was laid out in, I can't remember exactly. And that was inspected by the company commander. But the corporal laid out a demonstration on your bed.
Yeah. So did anyone get into trouble for not having done it properly?
No, I don't think so. No.
So what else did they teach you then? They taught you drilling, did they?
We had drill parade on the barrack square, but the first, it's all so long ago, rifle cleaning.
Is there a particular way of doing it?
Oh yes, yes. You had what they called, you had a pull through, and sections of 4x2, a flannelette kind of stuff, white with a red line on. I still got some upstairs. And there was a special way of folding it, putting it in the loop, dropping the weight through the barrel, and then pulling it through. And you had to be dead on the 4x2, that's 4 inches by 2, because the red line was every 2 inches and the roll was 4 inches wide. And then, well, because at that stage we hadn't fired rifles, not for another 3 or 4 weeks, by what I remember.
Yeah. So what else did they teach you in basic training?
Well, drill, then after a week, a short route march, discipline on the march. Like if you were in column of threes, and if you were nearest the road has a camber, and if you were on the left-hand line, when you had your break and started again, you went outside and moved round from the inside of the road to the crown of the road.
Why was that?
Well, because it gives you a break from the camber of the road. It's what they called march discipline. We always did it. Yeah.
So what else did they teach you? Did you do physical training?
Oh, yes. That was before breakfast. And they used to have someone with details every morning. Well, maybe I ought to say here that there was what they called internal economy. And on the notice board in the barrack room was a list of jobs. Clean windows, put black apes up, take black apes down, because you had black apes. And you had to take the black apes down at load saved. Clean windows, sweep floor, fetch cocoa in the morning, and all jobs in a barrack room, internal economy. And you had a number, and each one of these jobs were numbered. And you had a number which changed each week. So you looked at the number and that was your job. Well, whoever's job it was to fetch the cocoa in the morning, it was a big kind of stainless steel bucket with a lip on, and that was for the barrack room. You had that before you went to PT, we called it, in the morning. The PT instructors were quite good.
What did you have to do in PT?
Swedish drill, by what I remember. And
Swedish drill?
Yeah, the arms up, arms sideways, and touch your toes and all of that to begin with. And on the floor, sitting up on the floor, and all that kind of...
Did you enjoy it?
Well, I was young, yes, but some of the older people looked a bit stiff. But I used to like it because I had done it in this boys' club. We had the equipment there, and the boxes and the horse. Vaulting over the box, vaulting over the horse. And they had bars, what they called bars on the wall. And you had to go up and everybody off the floor, and everybody had to get up off the floor onto the bars and that kind of thing.
Do you think that helped you get fit,
Well, I was already fairly fit. I was only 17, and I'd been doing that kind of thing in the boys' club. And I suppose, but... Some of the older men that had been called up at about 30 years of age, they weren't quite so agile as us, as we boys.
How did you cope with living in barracks? Because you've got no privacy there, have you?
Well, there was no privacy, no. You soon found out who you might say what different people were like. And but when we were allowed to go out, I went out with one or two different people. But I never made friends, I don't think. I used to go out on my own.
Where would you go?
A Sunday afternoon, the Castle Grange, Colchester. We never went to the... Never... I can't remember going to the pictures, because we used to have pictures in the barracks.
Can you remember any of the films you saw?
No, not really. Most probably... I don't know. The Hollywood musicals, I think. Yeah.
So, in your first week there, were you fairly happy?
Oh yes, I was treated like a man for the first time in my life. Yes.
So did you write home to your parents?
Oh yes. I wrote home to my girl, who's named my wife, for 55 years. And my mother
Did you tell them all about it?
No, no. My sister, who's a bit older than me, about 2 years older than me, she was in the WASP. She was on the balloons in the WASP, then on the South Coast. And I used to write to her. Yes.
Was she pleased you joined up?
Yes, we were on leave once together, and she said, I wish I was a boy so I could come back with you. I said, yeah, you'd soon change your mind.
So did you ever do guard duties then?
Oh, yes, not a lot. My first guard duty at Colchester, what they called quarter guard, that's the guard on the main gate with the guard room, with the one or two detainees in the guard room at night, quite close to the barracks, in a field at the back of the Cato barracks, was a anti-aircraft rockets that the Home Guard used to manned. The Home Guard manned these anti-aircraft rockets, and I was on guard outside, and I thought the end of the world had come. All these rockets, anti-aircraft rockets, fired. I'd never heard them before, and they all fired. They are documented, but the Home Guard used to man them, and there was an air raid on. The air raid sound had gone, which it did quite often, and they fired these things, and I thought the end of the world had come. The noise and the flash and the crashing. I don't know exactly, but I think they exploded at a certain height, then went on further up and exploded again at a certain height. And I just stood there stunned. That was my first guard duty at Colchester.
Did you like doing guard duty?
No, it's the standing still that I didn't like. Standing still properly at ease. And
for how long?
2 hours on, 4 hours off, for 24 hours. But it was a standing still, standing properly at ease that I didn't like, with a rifle at a certain angle, your toes at a certain angle. And when the lieutenant or a captain, you sloped arms and saluted. A major, or the colonel, I think you presented arms, I think.
So you had to keep your eyes open?
Yes, that was it, yeah.
So, and you did that all the time you were at Colchester, in turns, didn't you?
Oh, I only did a couple of guards at Colchester, yeah, I only did about two. Because there were so many to share it round, yes.
Okay, right, we'll end reel one there. The end of reel one for Raymond Wigmore.